Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Bomb hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 243, the sweep edition. Obviously, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the Red Sox and Yankees, what's going on, and obviously, we're not going to read too much into it, obviously, but we'll have our takes. A little All-Star game to talk about, and then, you know, whatever else comes to mind. I'm in the bunker here in Falmouth, Massachusetts. John is in Nashville doing a college tour with his youngest son, and that's where we're at. Listen, the Red Sox, they're still 12 and a half games out as of Monday, even with a four-game sweep of the Yankees. They're still like 9 games under 500 at home, despite a four-game sweep of the Yankees. So I'm not exactly, you know, dancing on the table. But I would say if you had tickets to Fenway this weekend, you had a good time and a season that I think the best tweet I saw was from somebody who said, you're witnessing one of the worst Red Sox teams of all time, and they just went out and swept the Yankees. How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Well, it's true. I mean, the Yankees, I mean, Boone said it. You got to love it, baby. It's the, you got to do the grind. I don't know what he was smoking and in his postgame and Sunday night, but. Yeah, I mean, the Yankees obviously did not show up one bit. I mean, they were dismal, Brian. Nine runs in a four-game series, 17 hits, all sorts of errors in the first game. And then, you know, the only reason you did anything in the final game because the Red Sox screwed up at the end. I mean, you got no hits through the first three games, what, 4 innings each, and then into the eighth by Sonny Gray. If the Yankees... What's crazy, and what's crazy about baseball, right, Brian, we say this all the time, is everything swings quick, right? Last episode we were talking about, oh, the Yankees are rolling without Judge. And then you think you're going to walk into Fenway to a team that's the worst record in the American League, tied for the worst record in the American League, just to lost 2 or 3 to the Rockies. And then what do? You get swept. And it's really, what do you think? It's probably because, obviously, there's no Aaron Judge. But they were doing fine without Aaron Judge, but now nobody's hitting. Nobody's doing anything.
Yeah.
It's absolutely awful, and I don't know how you fix it. And without Aaron Judge, right, you're at least a month away. At least you're not even talking about imaging on him, right? You're not even talking about that yet.
Well, I think that the bottom line is the American League stinks, so they'll be fine. I don't see them. I mean, I don't understand what Tampa Bay.
Well, you say they'll be fine, right? They're game back behind Tampa Bay. But what when you say the American League stinks, the Yankees should be 10 games ahead in the American League East. Easily. They should be 10 games. They should be looking like the Dodgers are looking in the West right now. in the National League West. It's an absolute joke, and it's sad to say they're not going to do anything until they know what's going on with Aaron Judge. Now, they might try to address the Austin Wells issue, which is a mess. It's an absolute mess. He's statistically the worst player in baseball. We all know that. So they got to fix that no matter what. They may fix that before the trading deadline, which is August 3rd, but they're not going to do anything else. They need to find out what's going on with Aaron Judge, and they're going to say, because the American League sucks, that they can hold ground and stay in it and maybe even hold on to first place because they had their best record in the American League until they started choking in the last 10 games.
Yeah, but the problem with what you just said is that doesn't get you closer to winning the World Series.
No, it doesn't.
So, I mean, it depends on what your goals are. I mean, I think as of Monday, there are four teams over 500 in the entire American League. I mean, that is ridiculous. So, I mean, we've talked about how interleague play is skewing things and all this other stuff, but the bottom line is to be in at the top of the AL doesn't give you any indication of whether they can win the World Series, although in the playoffs, anything can happen. But I mean, for me, the weekend series was just about having a little bit of a bright spot in an otherwise dismal year. I find that it doesn't make me change my perspective on the Red Sox at all.
The energy was something. The team energy was amazing. I mean, the excitement that the Red Sox were showing as a team, I mean, it was – something's going on in that clubhouse now where they're just saying, screw it. You know, Marcel Mayer is gone now. Well, Roman Anthony, maybe his pinky's better and he's throwing some balls from the outfield. But something's starting to happen there where they're just saying, screw it. I think they're just saying, screw it. Screw yeah. Breslow. Screw all this other stuff. And we're just going to go out there and we're going to just bang into things. Go back to the old dirtbag mentality or whatever you want to call it. But they just swept the New York Yankees, dude. So if you can't as a Red Sox fan be happy and as a team find some freaking momentum, you're crazy.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's going to take more than that for me to, I mean, it was great. It's a great thing. We, you know, my wife, you know, like I, as soon as they tied it up in the ninth on Sunday night, I'm like, okay, I'm done. And then they went behind by two in the 10th. And then the story in my house was that my daughter was still following the game upstairs. I was in bed. I was long gone and my wife had turned it off and that my daughter basically texted her to, of course, she doesn't walk down the stairs to tell her. She texts her and had to turn the TV back on, and then she turned it back on and saw the Sox win. So, listen, I don't have a whole lot other than to say that. But the one thing I will say about the Red Sox that I find so – there's such paradoxes. They're in last place as of Monday with a positive run differential. Like, and, you know, their runs allowed it's in the top five fewest in Major League Baseball. Now, they can't hit a lick, but to be in last place and have a plus five run differential when Texas is 42-42 and atop the AL West with a negative run differential. Now, these are just statistics, but my point is that what makes them terrible is interesting. It's just they simply can't hit. Their pitching is good. I mean, I find their defense not as good as it's been maybe in the past, but they're not allowing a lot of runs. Sonny Gray, there's going to be a half a dozen teams that are going to want to trade for him. You know what I mean? He's the only one of value. Chapman has basically pitched his way out of a trade. You know what I mean? Because it's just, he has not come through. And part of it's because he's only been pitching every other week. Not enough work. But I think Sonny Gray is sort of the story, and the pitching's been a good story. So I don't have a whole lot else to add other than nice weekend. You know, we'll see if it parlays into anything. If it parlays into something, then I'll shut my mouth. But right now, I'm just saying some people had a nice weekend, and that's all I do. Now, in terms of some other stuff we're thinking about, I mean, you continue. I didn't know about this. I didn't know that Canada. Maybe this is a way to get back at us for the trade stuff, you know, like in terms of like, I don't know, the U.S. versus Canada relations. But I didn't know there was stuff in the ballot box for the All-Star game for players like who are having bad seasons.
Oh, it's crazy, Brian. And you know, Ernie Clement is leading vote getter for second baseman in the AL. And he's having an okay year, right? I mean, he's batting like 280 something with like seven home runs and very little RBIs. But he's on a bad team, right? But the thing that blows my mind is Vlad Guerrero is leading vote getting at first base. And there is talk about, one, benching him benching him. There's talk about benching him, which is extreme. But there's also talk about moving him down the lineup, like to like sixth in the lineup, because he's only got four home runs in the season. He's batting like 250, and he's just doing nothing to live up to his contract and doing nothing at all compared to last season. And he's the leading vote getter at first base. Well, let's, like, as a Yankees fan, being biased, Ben Rice is way better player. And let's go above that and talk about Nick Kurtz and where are they playing again? Los Angeles? No, they're Oakland, Sacramento. Who's literally coming off his rookie season as probably the best player in the American League hitting-wise. Like, if you compare him to Aaron Judge up to this point, he is at or better than Aaron Judge's numbers into his Major League career. So, again, you know, the All-Star game is great and all, but the whole voting system and the whole way people start and all that is flawed. If they're going to be doing all this stuff with the contracts and all this coming up, they should afterwards figure out as MLB and how to do it better. Let's do it better. If you want to get voted in by the fan, fine. You can be labeled as fan favorite, but let's put the people in the position starting who deserve. We're AI, we're nerds, figure out a way.
But I feel like that's the way it was. Remember, I remember you used to punch the ballots, and we always used to vote for our favorite players. And
yeah,
it was
probably worse then too, Brian, because you could actually punch them and submit them. And people got tired of doing that. Now I think they limit you to like 25 votes a day or whatever. But you know, you can't tell me it's not a Canadian effect. Can't tell me. Got to be. No doubt.
I actually kind of like it, and I know it's not right, and I don't want someone who's, you know, batting 230 to be in the All-Star game, but
and it's not even close, Brian. It's not even close to votes. Not even close. Like a million. It's like a million over them. Like Ben Rice is at like a million, and Vlad's at like 2.5. It's insane.
And he'll be there, and Vlad'll start, and it's hysterical because it's a way for Canada.
Well, I mean, Jeter reaped the benefits for years. Let's be honest, and Cal Ripken Jr. reaped the benefits for years. Let's be honest, but I think, you know, in this day and age of all our stat geeks and stuff, you know, news traveled a lot slower back in Cal Ripken Jr.'s days. You know, you didn't know he sucked until 2 or 3 days later. You know,
right.
Now you know people suck before they suck. So it's like, you got to figure it out. It's technology. We're in a different time. Let's make it right. The All-Star game. Come on. Let's not make that a joke too.
Hey, real quick. You know, my kids never took an interest. Like if people don't know, this is a digression. John Senecal, Brian Shackman, this is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. We are in episode 243. Just a little life stuff here for a second. You know, my kids never wanted to go south. And the trend in the Northeast is the kids all want to go big and they want to go south. They see, I mean, honestly, your sons, they see all the good-looking women at SEC schools, or they see the parties on Saturdays or the frat dances and whatever. And now everyone wants to go to Tennessee, Alabama, and Vandy or whatever. And my kids just didn't gravitate to that for different reasons, but a lot of my friends' kids did. And your youngest, you're down there. You're in Tennessee now?
Yeah, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. We started our trip in Florida with Embry-Riddle University. We went there. We went to Florida Tech. We went to Jacksonville University. And then we went to Auburn. And we drove up to Auburn in Alabama, which I don't know how you could top that campus. Maybe Pepperdine or somewhere out west. But that is the most beautiful campus I have ever been to.
Tell me about it, because I always think of them as the sort of, like, you know, the lesser of two in the rivalry with Alabama.
Yeah, I know they have no problem talking about that either, Brian. That's for sure. Every phase of the game, they're bang on Alabama down there. But beautiful campus. Everywhere you turn, it is picture perfect. Everybody's super nice. You can't find any dirt. You can't find any crap. You can't find any. I couldn't find anything wrong with that place. The academics are amazing. The facilities are amazing. The dorms are amazing. The people are really nice. The whole town is amazing. The area is amazing. I mean, when you're going to spend this kind of money, Brian, I mean, this is my second round at this. I mean, our youngest, oldest son goes to Fairfield, which is insanely clean. It's an amazing campus. And I compare Embry-Riddle is futuristic Fairfield, and Auburn is Fairfield on crack. That's what I say.
So does he... Like, if he had to apply now, what would he
want? Auburn. If he got in, he would go to Auburn, 1,000%. I know he's looking for the true college experience, but he's realistic. He doesn't need that. He wants to be a pilot. So Embry-Riddle is amazing school. But Auburn is right there, dude. I mean, they're a pilot program, and the way they present it, and stuff they have and the access to all this stuff, it is right there. I mean, it is right there. As far as my opinion.
Well, you're out of state and you pay more than in state, so then they probably want your money. So they need,
$13,000 for in state at Auburn, and it was like $36,000 for out of state. But this is the catch, Brian, and I'm going to let you have a little secret here. The guy told me, if you become a volunteer firefighter in the state of Alabama, you can go for in-state tuition. So, I mean, maybe I can come down here and be a volunteer firefighter, and I can send my kids to school for in-state tuition. Got to get in first, probably, though.
For the money, Colleen will probably let you do that, and then I'll come down and visit. And because I would love to go to – I don't have to go to Auburn, Alabama. I would love to go to an Auburn football game.
And the way they do the tickets, they're so student friendly. How they cater to the students, they're not bowing out to the big corporate interests and stuff. But we're going to Middle Tennessee State today. This is our last thing, and they were out. We drove through Vanderbilt and just looked at it. These advances are going there. But the facilities, the baseball facilities at Vanderbilt. Oh my goodness! And they're building a whole new thing on the outside. Like, looks like luxury suites and all this other crap on the right field line. But boy, man, that place is gorgeous.
Well, Vandy is it's also a really tough school to get into these days. It's smoking hot. Well, have a safe rest of your trip. We wanted to just do a quick hit after that sweep and touch on a few other items. So we'll be back real soon with another episode. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Graybar helps you install faster and smarter with kitting, staging, wire carts, Graybar smart reels, and delivery notifications. We take the hassle out of your job site so you can focus on what you do best, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.